dangerous. It's dangerous.
Everybody come to the Breakfast Club. I call this the hot seat.
Y'all are wild. Can I live?
You are out of control. I can't even deal with you.
Y'all are so petty. Why are y'all so petty?
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Captain of this bitch.
Angela Yee.
I stay in everybody's business, but in a good way.
Charlamagne the God.
The ruler of rubbing you the wrong way.
The Breakfast Club.
Made for everybody.
Yo. Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God. Peace to the planet. It's Friday! Well, as you can see, Angela Yee is not here today. Charlamagne, I guess he's running a little bit late. Well, good morning. It is Friday. If you're just waking up, what a night. Jay-Z's album was released last night at midnight. 444. I got a chance to listen to it yesterday afternoon and really vibe with it. And it's one of those albums that Hove fans and people who really listen to lyrics will love. If necessarily you don't and you want to dance and you want to shake your bun bun, it's not that type of album. Very lyrical, drops a lot of gems, talks about life. It's one of those albums that when you listen to, like, I got a chance to listen to it in the car. And I'm sure Charlamagne said the same thing because I know he's a Hove fan. But when you get to listen to it, certain things gives you a feeling. Like, you know that tear-up feeling? Like, you want to just tear up a little bit, but you be like, nah, I'm a man. I ain't tearing up. That type of feeling, listen to the Hove album. Dope album. I like it. We're going to be playing joints all morning. Of course, we're going to be doing a Jay-Z mix. I'm going to mix some of the classics with some of the new joints this morning. But I was really impressed. I really loved the album. I thought it was going to be more about conscious in the world and F Donald Trump and all that. But it's just about life, you know, supporting each other, supporting black businesses, you know, growing up in a relationship. It's so many dope things and so many dope gems on that album. He talks about and invested money into certain things and the mistakes that he made and guiding people to what they should do. So if you thought Gary V was inspirational when he came up here yesterday, we replayed it this morning, some of the things that he says, if you really listen, you'd be like, damn, maybe there's different moves I should be making. Me and myself. Now, he talks about a story. We're talking about Jay-Z's album. It was released at midnight last night. He talks about a story about being able to buy a building in Brooklyn, in Dumbo. And he could have bought the building at the time for like $2 million. And he said if he would have bought that building, instead of buying all the cars and all the jewelry at the time, that building is now worth $25 million. And that's the way we have to start thinking. And different coaches think that way, and we don't. But the album is dope. I like the album. We'll talk about it some more. And we got a special guest joining us this morning, all right? Should we say who the guest is? No, we don't want to say who the guest is? All right. Well, Donnell Rawlings will be here, too. I don't know if you care about Donnell Rawlings, comedian. And he used to open up for Dave Chappelle, friend to the room sometimes. Well, he'll be here as well. All right, well, let's get the show cracking. F of Front Page News. We're going to do a Jay-Z news this morning. We're going to be playing clips off the album. We're going to be doing a lot this morning. Matter of fact, can we get into a joint? Can we start off with a Jay-Z record? Can we? All right.
Pick one.
Did we get permission, or are we going to get in trouble? I mean, it's Jay-Z. How much in trouble can we get, right? All right, well, let's get into... let's go kill Jay-Z. All right. Jay-Z morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. I'm trying to think. Did the team say they were taking vacation and I'm the only one that didn't know? Is that what happened? Angela Yee's not here. I'm guessing Charlamagne will be here in a second. But I'm trying to figure out if everybody said they were taking vacation, I didn't read the email. No, that didn't happen. All right. Well, let's get in some front page news. F front page news today. I know you're probably tired of hearing Donald Trump stories. Let's do some Jay-Z news. Now, also in his Jay-Z album, he talks about Prince and how, you know, they had the problem with Prince and Prince's estate, where Prince's estate was actually supposed to allow Tidal to have Prince's music. They sent a cease and desist and pulled the music. Well, let's hear Jay-Z talking about Prince and his estate.
I sat down with Prince eye to eye. He told me his wishes before he died. Now London McMillan, he must be colorblind. They only see green from them purple eyes. They eyes high, they eyes high. My eyes wide shut to all the lies. These industry niggas, they always been fishing. But ain't no biggie, your lazy eye, huh? Mm.
So that's talking about Prince and how he feels that his family's being greedy, selling tickets to walk through his house, surprised that they didn't auction off the casket, and his conversation with Prince. Like I said, the album is really in-depth. It talks about a lot of things. No ID produced the album. Album gives you that old soul feeling, a lot of samples, a lot of feeling. Also, there's only two features. One is Damian Marley, and the other is Frank Ocean. Now, on Apology, he talks about his relationship with Beyonce and how their relationship went a little left and how he cheated and how he's apologizing. Let's play a little bit of that.
I apologize. Orphan woman eyes. Took for my child to be born. See through a woman's eyes. Took for these natural twins to believe in miracles. Took me too long for this song. I don't deserve you. I harassed you out in Paris. Please come back to Rome. You make it home. We talked for hours when you were on tour. Please pick up the phone. Pick up the phone. I said don't embarrass me instead of be mine. That was my proposal for us to go steady. That was your 21st birthday. You matured faster than me. I wasn't ready.
All right, now also he talks about, at the end of it, he says, you know, I thought I wanted menage a trois, and I basically disrespected my wife, or I could have disrespected my wife, my soulmate. It's a dope joint. We'll play more. We're going to play more joints when we come back, all right? But tell them why you're mad is up next, or tell them why you're blessed. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Or if you feel blessed, 800-585-1051. We're going to be playing more Jay-Z joints this morning. We're going to be talking about the Jay-Z album. And we have a special guest joining us next hour. This person hasn't done radio in 12 years. 12 years. And decided to pop up at The Breakfast Club, all right? So keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hi. Good morning. This is Manny from Virginia.
Manny,
good morning,
from Virginia.
Manny.
You blessed or you upset this morning? Which one, bro?
I'm blessed, bro.
Talk to me.
I'm blessed because I'm actually re-enlisting in the military for 6 more years tomorrow.
I'm going to be honest with you. That's kind of a silly decision being that Donald Trump is in the White House. But
somebody got to fight for our country.
I absolutely agree. Salute to everybody out there in the military. But your leader is very, very, very unstable.
Well, I mean, you guys got your opinions. But, I love, working for the military. So,
but do you love working for Donald Trump is the question.
We appreciate your service, man, and appreciate all you do, though. I ain't gonna lie. We appreciate that.
No comment on that one. But, and also I'm also blessed because by the end of this month, I'm also actually having my wedding ceremony actually up in Wisconsin. So
that's a good thing. Well, I just hope that you don't end up in any unnecessary wars, man, because of Donald Trump's Twitter.
No, absolutely not. But we'll see how it goes.
All right, brother.
All right, man.
I appreciate it.
Hello, who's this?
This is Ricardo from the Brick City.
Hey, Ricardo, man. You feel blessed or you mad this morning?
Man, I'm blessed, brother. I'm blessed. I'm alive. I got a job. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That's what's up, buddy. Y'all like your show, man. That's one thing, man. I'll follow you every day, man.
Thank you for riding with us.
Day.
All right, bro. All right,
the name of the show is The Breakfast Club, sir. Tell a friend.
Hello, who's this?
Kiko, what's going on?
What's up, bro? Tell him, are you mad or are you blessed this morning?
How can I be mad when Jay-Z dropped new albums? I'm happy as hell.
Man, listen, that was the best birthday present I could have asked for. That album is the album I wanted. More importantly, it's the album I needed.
I agree, man. Listen, I've been a Jay-Z fan my whole life, right? And I'm going to keep it. I'll be honest. I've been kind of disappointed the last couple of Jay-Z albums. So this one right here, I was ready to kill Jay-Z, no pun intended. But, man, this right here, this is pretty good.
Yeah, the album is dope.
Yeah, this is dope. This is one of them ones that I think go in Jay-Z's catalog. Like this don't feel like Magna Carta. It don't feel like, what was Jay's album before Magna Carta?
Can't remember.
Well, I can't remember either. That's my point. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that those albums weren't decent. They just weren't memorable. This one feels like something. It's like sticking to your ribs this morning.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us now. Or if you feel blessed, hit us up.
Hold on. When are we telling them about the guest? A special guest this morning.
You want to tell them or?
You want to do it now or you want to wait?
All right, we can do it now. This morning on the show, special guest hasn't done radio in 12 years.
That's what he said. That's what he told us.
Right.
okay? Legend, icon.
Dave Chappelle will be joining us this morning.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Dave Chappelle. He will be here at 7 a.m.
7 a.m. Dave Chappelle will be in the building. How dope is that? We got Jay-Z music last night. Dave Chappelle in the building today.
Oh, man. We are blessed and black and highly favored.
Get it off your chest. Up next is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Elaine, you there?
Yes, DJ Envy. Tell me Charlamagne is there. Is Charlamagne there yet?
Yeah, he's finally got here, Elaine.
I'm right here,
boo. Okay, I was shouting at them. Go on YouTube right now and type in E-L-A-I-N-E on Mari. M-A-U-R-Y. You know, like 50 Cent rap, not like me. I'm better. I got 3 bullets in the head.
Elaine got shot 3 times.
I can tell. In the head.
No, man. Oh, Lord. I am about to blow up. Y'all got a car. What's that lady saying? I wrote a book. It's called God Wasn't Ready For Me Yet.
Okay.
That's it. Hell, put me on. I'm a miracle. Where's the Charlamagne?
I'm right here, baby. Elena, I'm right
here. Hey, Charlamagne.
Charlamagne,
hook me up, man.
What you want me to do, boo?
Let all them know we need to fly me in there.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah, Jay-Z's album is out right now, so we're not really worried about stuff like this.
Okay.
We've had a lot of rappers in here that have survived gunshot wounds. Can you put some music to your bullets?
Oh, stop it. You have a great morning, mama.
I wrote a book.
We know.
Oh, you wrote a book. What's the name of the book?
God wasn't ready for me yet. It's on Amazon.
All right, we're gonna look up that book.
I'm gonna check it out, and we're gonna see what we can do. Okay, Elaine.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning. Breakfast Club AM got the best listeners.
Hey, you mad? You upset? You blessed? What's going, Mama?
I'm mad.
Why you mad?
Because envy. Why are Charlamagne and Angela Yee not there with you this morning?
I'm here, boo.
Charlamagne finally got here.
Oh, really? Charlamagne, you've been coming to work lately. I don't know what's up. You're trying to set an example for the people and stuff or whatever, but you can't be coming late.
You're right.
Holding it down and stuff or whatever. You got to do better.
You're right, baby. Yes, last night was my birthday, though.
Well, you know what? You still got to go to work.
You're right. You're absolutely
and you
right.
Responsibility.
You tell them.
Don't be leaving and be hanging like that. That's not fair.
You tell
You're right.
Mama.
I'm not even going to dispute you. You're right.
Yes, you got to do better. But I read your book. I brought your book. I have it on audio, everything. I love it. You did a great job.
Thank you, baby. Black Privilege Opportunity Comes to Those Who Create It is out right now.
Thank you for checking it, Mama.
New York Times bestseller. Thank you for purchasing.
All right. Now, if you haven't heard, our special guest that will be joining us next hour is Dave Chappelle.
Yes, the Dave Chappelle. Comedian extraordinaire, legend, icon, whatever you want to call him. He will be here at 7 a.m. He told us he hasn't done radio in 12 years.
That's right.
All right.
So we're going to kick it with Dave Chappelle next hour.
I wonder what he considers radio, because I damn sure heard him on Sway yesterday. So,
well, I don't know. Well, we'll talk to him.
Yeah.
Next hour is The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building with us
now
this
listen.
Morning.
No, we have one special guest.
Yeah, we always say we got special guests in the building.
We don't get
It don't always apply to everybody.
So disrespectful.
This one definitely applies.
I'm the dude when the star don't show up like, yo, see if we can get Donnell to come in. But I'm cool with that.
We have Ashley Larry, Donnell Rawlins. And we have a special guest that hasn't done radio in 12 years.
Oh, man, the legendary.
That's right.
Iconic.
Dave Chappelle.
Oh, my God.
Good morning. Welcome, sir.
Hey, good morning, man. It's good to see you.
Do you feel pressure to do a great radio interview since you haven't done it in 12 years?
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I want everybody to like me. I don't come out and try to do bad, but I saw you at the fight. Charlamagne.
Yes, I was at the Triple G Danny Jacobs fight.
And I got to tell you, I got excited to see and I realized I've never met this person.
That's how I felt. I saw you a few rows up. I'm like, that's Dave Chappelle. And then you turned around and you saluted, but I'm like, I don't think you're doing that to me. So I'm not, I didn't want to salute back at first. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to salute back at first. I'm like, oh, he's talking to me. So I told my wife, I said, yo, you see Dave Chappelle? Just say what's up to me. So I'm saying all that to say, you know, I got really good fellatio that night because you said what's up to me.
Oh, whoa. I didn't know where that was going.
Wow. I was like, wow.
I said, wow. Okay. Is that what we started?
Marital fellatio.
You a big boxing guy, though?
Yeah, I love the fights. You know what happens? You go to one good fight, and then you're like, you want to see, you know. Like, I was at that Andre Ward fight.
I saw you on TV. You know, yeah.
Man. I saw something great that night. It was good.
That was a great fight. And I totally slept on Andre because I thought Andre was going to lose that second fight.
Oh, I was sure he was going
to
win.
You're going to go to Floyd and Conor? McGregor?
Listen, personally, I think McGregor is going to get destroyed.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, it's not even competitive. So if I spend $7 million on a bet on Floyd, then I'll make $1 million.
Yeah.
But is it gambling if you're short?
Mm. Yes, because he could have that
anything
one
happen.
Lucky punch.
Stop saying that. No,
it could be a boxing punch.
You watch too much boxing to know that that's not going to happen.
It's not. It'd be like the Golden State Warriors playing your local high school.
I'm still stuck with a $7 million bet. I'm like, how you do that?
When you get a $50 million deal from Netflix?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but you know what I mean.
Do you wake and bake in the morning, Dave, or do you wait till after breakfast?
Yeah, I'm a waiter. I usually late at night.
Oh, at night? Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. You said something interesting. You said you don't ever want to just present something bad. You still feel like you got something to prove? Because you're, like, critically acclaimed. You're respected by your peers. Do you feel still like you got something to prove?
No, it's not necessarily you feel like you got something to prove. I'm sure you guys feel the same way. It's like quality control, right?
Yeah.
You want to make sure that whatever you offer, you put your best foot forward. You know, that doesn't mean you want to prove anything. It just means you respect the people that respect you. And you want to reciprocate their respect with a good product.
Do you still Absolutely. Get nervous when you do shows, or is this is a piece of cake to you?
Well, one sometimes. Time it didn't work out.
Yeah, and sometimes it don't work. You know what it's like? And Donnell, you can attest to this. When people ask me, like, do you get nervous when you go on stage? It's like asking a pilot if he gets nervous before a flight. I might hit some weather. I might hit some weather, but I feel like normally we land the plane. I don't think we've ever not landed. Maybe Detroit, but other than that
was done. By the way, I would never want to know if my pilot was nervous, by the way.
Yeah, you want no nervous pilot.
I'm just a little confused because everybody's throwing so much respect. And, Dave, I've been on this show 4 or 5 times. When I come here, they don't even look me in my face. They don't make eye contact.
That's not
they
true. Don't
Every
say
time
that.
I come here, y'all on social media, you y'all doing bitter. Everything.
Now, what about that time you came and I told everybody, I said, no matter what Donnell says, do not laugh.
It was like slow motion. So I was like, oh, this looked like a setup.
What made you even like Donnell? Was what?
Damn, that's so
disrespectful. Like, what was it in Donnell that said, you know what, I can work with this guy?
Oh, well, the first time I heard about you, I went home to D.C., and I went to the comedy club, and I asked some old comics, like, what's popping around here? And everybody was like, yo, you got to see this new kid, Donnell Rawlings. And then I met you, and we had a swell time. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
You remember that? All right.
Swell time. We're going to leave it at the swell time.
He kind of regretting it.
No. But well, we didn't have that good
time. He won't leave me alone. He comes with me everywhere.
I'm broke, bitch.
I watch I watch your show online all the time. Like, I watch all you guys. Mm-hmm. I just watched an interview that you did with Neil.
Yeah. FaceTime. Yeah, that's my guy.
I watched you on a real estate show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Open house.
And then I saw you with the DJ Awards.
Yeah, that's right.
I presented an award to you.
Yeah, and you promised. You said, I'm going to come on the show. You said, I need a little time, but I'm going to come. You
yeah, that's right. That's right.
You definitely kept your word.
Yeah, man.
Salute to my guy, Neil. Why do you think white people gravitated towards you, your comedy? Because it's been like that your whole career.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't look at it that way. Like, the whites are really gravitating towards me. I don't use those kinds of metrics. I think all of us, at some point, we have ventured into some kind of cultural crossroad.
Mm-hmm.
We're black people, but we're corporate people. And
we all smoke weed.
We all smoke weed. We all, you know, we traverse the American landscape. So I don't think there's anyone in America that I'm incapable of communicating to on some level.
Now, gotcha. Everything's so sensitive now. Do you think you could do the Dave Chappelle show and not have backlash? Because it seems like everything is sensitive. You say a word and people are already crying and picketing outside of things.
Hey, man, President grabs girls by the
That's all you need to know, right?
That's what it's at, you know? You know? And comedians wipe out. You know, everybody does. Sometimes you're going to say something, that, and you might be wrong, but that's the nature of the genre. You know, to not take a chance for fear of that would not be being true to the muse.
Would you ever apologize if you said something too far?
If I actually concede it's too far. But it's a touchy line, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? I like it harder. I think that.
No, I'm going to say you have quite possibly the greatest rape joke of all time.
The
Bill Cosby, yeah. He rapes.
And he saves.
And he
saves. But he saves.
But he saves. Was that an observation you was pondering?
The thing is, it's tough to talk about jokes because I don't want to open the door to all these weird, like, analytical. Like, what does he actually mean by that? That's a slippery slope. But, you know, I don't want to antagonize anybody or intentionally offend somebody.
Well, have you come up with an answer for as far as, like, what should we do with Bill Cosby? Should we still watch his work? Should we still appreciate his art?
Do I have an answer for that?
Yeah.
No, the question, it's the kind of question that makes more questions.
Got you.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a tough one, man, because, you know, what he's accused of is very serious. I don't like, take that lightly. Mm-hmm. However, you know, I don't know. It was 70s. Times, this crazy shit's going on. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
America's dad is now America's rapist.
According
to the New York Post.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
All right, we got more with Dave Chappelle and Donnell Rawlings when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Dave Chappelle and Donnell Rawlings in the building. Yee.
I did appreciate on those specials that you didn't shy away from any topics because I do feel like everybody's so politically correct. You know, and I also find it ironic that everybody's like, he walked away from $50 million, but then you came back and got $60 million doing Netflix.
Allegedly.
Two specials.
Yeah, well, you know what? Thank God that there was a happy ending to that walking away from Chappelle show, because I could have just never worked again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I never stopped. Even when I was, like, not in the public eye, I was still playing comedy clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And I found an altitude that I was comfortable with. And, you know, I had a good time.
How many times a day did Donnell call you and beg you to come back?
He didn't call. He didn't beg me for nothing.
Were you guys always in communication? Because Donnell did for a while. He was in a state of depression after... Yeah,
Donnell was. Jesus. Yeah, I had a tough time myself. Yeah.
He was like, what about me?
I think, you know, when I was gone, I think Donnell stayed in touch with me, and Neil were cool the whole time, you know. It wasn't as bad blood amongst us. Like, people assumed that I left in a huff. It wasn't like that. I mean, I did leave in a huff, but I wasn't mad at the guys.
A lot of people, like, after, you know, after he left, a lot of people would ask me, you know, how I feel about it or whatever. Are you upset? And I never was upset because I was doing comedy for a while before I was introduced to Dave Chappelle. And, like, with anything, you can be as talented as you want, but until you get the right platform, nobody will never know about it.
Gotcha.
So, we, you know, the
I
show...
I don't know if I care being a Dave Chappelle sitting here, but go ahead.
What did you say? What do you mean I went on Chappelle's show? I speak Migos, so I know what happened. But for, you know, everybody, you know, the one that I've been asked that question a million times, that I always felt that I was talented, but again, you need the right opportunity. Like, even in sports, you know, you could be a talented person, but until the coach puts you in the game, nobody gonna never see what you so you do. So he gave me a platform to do what I've been doing for years, and I think there was an even exchange after all that.
Okay, so Dave, do you have a favorite mumble rapper? Because you're a hip-hop head. Do you appreciate anything from this generation?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, I party to it. If I go out, they playing Migos, and I listen to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But a favorite mumble rapper, I don't know about all that.
Yeah, yeah.
I like to be able to say the lyrics, too.
Well, I can tell who you really like based on who you have on tour. When you do this residency that you're doing in New York City at Radio City, I can see that you handpicked the artist that you wanted to be there.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, man. So this year will be like my 30th anniversary of stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
I figured, like, why I should mark that occasion, right? Like, you know, this business is hard.
Mm-hmm.
You existed in a long time. And it's good to stop for a minute and just appreciate the fact that you... I'm still able to do this, and I'm very lucky to be successful. So, it's a celebration. Like, even now, you'll see my next special. The act I'm doing now, I like it because there's joy in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing right now. I really, you know what I mean? It's like, I went skydiving once. Have you ever done that?
No, Envy has.
I have, yeah.
Okay, I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
What did you hate about it? Because I hated going up.
I hate the thought of jumping out of a plane.
When you jumped out and you're flying, I enjoyed that part. But the whole going up part, I didn't like.
Because it was terrifying the entire time. Like, okay, I got in,
man. You're jumping out
of a plane. Yeah. In the beginning, it's a plane ride. Then the door opens.
Yep.
And you realize you expected to jump out. And I'm strapped to a guy that I've never met before. And I didn't see the chute pack. And, oh, my God, I have kids. And all this stuff you're thinking as you edge up to the door. Next thing you know, you're just in the sky. No logical reason to be there. There's no, you know, my life didn't depend on it. And yet I jumped out of this plane, mm-hmm. and you're just falling. And everyone says it feels like flying. But to me, it felt like falling at about 120 miles an hour. And I was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you get out of the situation other than being terrified?
Well, the point is when the chute lands and you survive it, you go home at night, you eat dinner, food tastes better. House is quiet and still, and you feel comfortable and safe in your house. You're like, man, I'm glad to be home. Everything's good. So that's what it felt like. It felt like coming back and doing this Netflix special and all that. Felt like my chute opened, and everything's just good right now.
See, I don't got to do all that to get that feeling. I'm black in America. All I got to do is just drive through the neighborhood that I live in and make it home without being stopped, and I feel the exact
same. All
right, well,
I live in a much nicer neighborhood, obviously. <Let's go. laughs> I was kidding. I mean, we're all black. You know what I mean? Like, I know what you mean, but it's not like I'm going to try to survive a traffic stop just to get that feeling. I mean, it's like, it's the black experience, but I did it. I don't know why I did it, but the point is that now, there's just, I'm happy to be doing what I'm doing.
Would you do it again?
What, quit my show?
No. Skydive.
Oh, skydive? No, I don't think I would, man. Not I mean, either. Like, I get it. I know what it's about. You know what I mean? I just think that, you know, it's just one of those things. I didn't even mean to do it the first time. It's a long story.
Dave, I hate to do this, but I have to put you on the spot. But could you explain to the Breakfast Club what you did to my apple pie a year ago?
What?
Your apple
what?
Pie.
Is
your
this cold for something?
No, he's talking. Okay, so we were playing at the Pabst Blue Ribbon Theater. And the pastry chef and Donnell hit it off the first night of the engagement.
She was white.
And Donnell's just, that's when you were
Donnell had
a face.
No, but she was just, no, she's an older woman, real sweet woman. And she really liked Donnell. So I came to work, and she had baked him a pie. And the pie had his name stenciled in the crust.
Wow.
And I was excited about it because every day she would come to where she says, is there anything that you could do for, is there anything special you want? I was like, make me a pie. She was like, that's pretty simple. I said, well, if that's so simple, make me a pie and put my name on the top of the pie.
What'd you put your dick in the pie or something? What's the moral of the story?
That is correct.
Oh, my goodness.
And you ate it?
I was excited about the pie.
Oh, I thought you were okay.
No, I was sure everybody the pie did.
I didn't actually put my dick in it.
Would you have still eaten the pie if they would have put your dick in it?
And he kept going. He was like, because somebody put that pie in the microwave for 3 seconds. So as much as people love Dave Chappelle, he's an evil friend behind stage, man.
That was funny, man.
All right, we got more with Dave Chappelle. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Dave Chappelle and Donnell Rawlings in the building. Charlamagne.
When the last time you've been humbled, Dave?
Humbled?
Yeah.
You mean like what, professionally or personally?
Both.
Detroit.
Yo, man, life is humiliating.
Mm.
Yeah,
life. Even for you?
For everybody. Yo, you think if I'm walking down the street and a lady says, yo, can I take a picture? And she don't know how to work a camera, and we all standing there. But you do that because you got to, you know, you got to have empathy for people. But life is humiliating. Being a parent's humiliating. Being a husband's humiliating. All of it's humiliating.
Well, hindsight is 2020. Was everything worth it? Like everything you went through, like even the Chappelle Show experience and even walking away from it, was it all worth it?
Hey, man, yeah, I was happy to have that show, you know? I'm sorry it ended the way it ended, but I enjoyed making that show. It was an experience that very few people will get to have.
Right.
Do you miss it?
Yeah.
Do you miss it, especially with everything going on and so much material.
Yeah, like, I have a great skit for this.
Because I see some stuff and I say, damn, I miss the Chappelle Show.
Yeah, I miss it too. You know, but I think, I don't know if I could do it again though. Because I miss it, but then I remember what it was like to do it, and it just wasn't, might be easier now to make it, just because of technology. And
yeah, but the internet ruined because
it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, stuff that you want to do, somebody will do on YouTube 10 times faster and 10 times worse.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
But you did employ a lot of people.
It was great. Yeah. I worked with a lot of great people. I was doing a show in Atlanta the other night and bumped into like some of the guys from the crew. I hadn't seen those guys since I walked off the set. It was good to see them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you remember people fondly, like, after it's all said and done. So, I do have bad feelings about how it ended, but I don't have bad feelings about what it was. It was a great experience.
Now, how did Charlie Murphy's passing affect you? Because I know you guys were pretty close.
It was tough, man. It was a reality check. I feel very lucky that I got to know him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's a very large part of the reason that I got to be successful. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, he changed my life just by saying, I fought Rick James many times. We were like, what?
He fought Rick James.
Fought Rick James.
Oh, I thought
Charlemagne, Jesus. I didn't know you could say fuck on the radio. But no, he said he fought Rick James many times. He tell us his story at lunch, and it literally, from then on, it just changed. It changed our lives.
You immortalized him.
Yeah, man. But, you know, I got to, like, meet and work with Rick. And Charlie, and he was an OG. Like, Charlie's been around the block. He's, you know, his brother is Eddie Murphy. He's seen the epicenter of, like, the fame that we all wanted to acquire. And he had great stories. And he was also a real nurturing dude. I think he gave me great advice.
Mm-hmm.
I miss his presence, man. I was real sad to hear he died.
He's doing a great job on Power. I've been watching Power.
He is doing a great job.
He took Donnell's job.
He did.
He definitely took Donnell's
job. Donnell was that job.
That's when you busted your knee up?
Yeah,
man. But I will say, you know, like, you, when other people get stuff away from yourself, it's hard to celebrate that. But, you know, when I found out that Charlie was doing that role, I realized that he was probably the perfect person for him. And then in hindsight, as far as with him passing away or whatever, I just think this is a nice thing for people to see him being a part of a great body of work like that. And he did a good job.
Did Charlie's death make y'all think about your own mortality? Because I know Donnell called me one day randomly. He was like, yo, I just want to tell you, man, you know what I'm saying? You know, people dying and you might die, so I just want to tell you I love you. You're doing a good job. I'm like, what?
No, I will say, and I know Dave may have a different answer, like when someone passed away, especially when somebody that you care about, it makes you think about people important in your life and the people that you respect. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I was probably, you know, in my feelings that day, but it was at a time when you just dropped your book, and I'm seeing like your transition from not just doing urban stuff, but like the media run that you did. Oh, I'll keep it real. All the white folks that you partnered up with, and all the interviews you did, I was like, he's taking it to the next level. And another thing in our community is not too often that people read books. So the fact that, you know, a brother put a book out and he got people that wouldn't normally pay attention to that. Really, right. Like, I know it's hard to say, and I didn't say no homo before I said that I loved you. And I know that's what probably threw you off. And I didn't say pause at the end, right?
Those are my real
I thought you were sick.
Nah.
The way you called, I thought he was sick. I thought he was like...
Because that's the one time that we really appreciate people.
That's real.
It's in death.
Right. That's true.
When someone passed away, it makes you think about so many times in our life, we get to a point where you say to yourself, I wanted to call that person just to say hi or just to say what's up.
Yeah.
And you don't act on those feelings. And then something tragic may happen. And then you're like, oh, man, I was just supposed to call him. So that was me and my mom.
You know, sometimes on a tour bus, Donnell gets drunk and looks at pictures of his son and cries.
Oh, you do?
Do you really?
I love
he
that.
Does.
Wrong with that. I sniffle.
You cry.
He does. I'm just telling you this.
I can believe that. That's cute, though.
I caught him doing it a few times.
You ever met Donnell, baby mama?
Yeah, of course.
Stephanie? Yeah,
yeah, of course.
Great.
She's wonderful. We vacationed together.
Yeah, I seen that. You guys were on the yacht.
Yeah, well, yeah.
why is it well, yeah?
Because I thought it was a yacht until I saw Puffy shit.
Oh, that wasn't. So y'all just went on Puffy's
boat.
No,
we had a yacht.
Turns out we had a boat.
You don't feel the need to compete with stuff like that, though.
Not at all.
Yeah,
I'm really, really, really happy right now. And I appreciate it. Like, my kids are safe right now. I know where they are. Everyone's happy. Everyone's fed and clean. And it's a good look, man. It's a good time.
Fed and clean.
Yeah, good look.
Now, we've seen you pop out with Chris Rock a couple of times.
Another legend, another icon.
Yeah, that's the homie, man.
There's only two of y'all in that space, though.
Yeah, Chris is there. He's definitely big brother, though. He's killing it. I went and saw his act. I've seen his act a few times. The one he's doing, he's killing it right now.
He's saying maybe you guys would do a tour together.
Well, we are going to do two nights together at Radio City. It'll be the first time we've ever officially headlined a show, a co-headlined a show together. And I'm very excited about it.
Wow.
This is the first time any comic has ever done a residency of a month at Radio City Music Hall. Dave is a real humble dude. He's not going to say really the spectacle of what's about to go down, but nobody's ever done a joint where, like, the entire month of August, we locking everything down. We got some of the best.
Who's we, son?
Wait, so you gave Dinah tickets to?
I'm doing one or two shows.
Don't let me rub my cup. I'm gonna be honest with you, Dave. I don't think y'all need no other comedians on those dates.
To be quite honest, you don't. But you know what I'm saying? We got a team. I'm gonna do some of the shows. But like,
how do you know that? You're forcing yourself on the show. Don't rape their set. You just gonna rape their shows?
Y'all so disrespectful.
Did you have consent to perform?
Y'all so disrespectful. Well, in the event that I have the opportunity to perform.
So you're the understudy.
Yeah, the understudy.
He's totally gonna be on it.
All right, we are the Breakfast Club. Now, coming up next, usually we do rumors, but I mean, damn it, man. Dave Chappelle is here. We're gonna kick it with Dave Chappelle some more, so don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed blessing.
So like a donkey?
Yeehaw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Hey, guys.
Let me take a sip of my water.
All right. Donkey of the Day for Friday, June 30th goes to Kendall and Kylie Jenner, a.k.a. Thing 1 and Thing 2. Now, you know, yesterday, Kylie and Kendall released some T-shirts, and the T-shirts, first of all, were $125 a piece. I promise you all right now, Charlamagne the God, your Uncle Charla will never, ever buy a $125 T-shirt. I don't care what celebrity net worth says I got. I am a Negro from the dirt roads of Mount Corner, South Carolina. I've been fired 4 times from this radio world. I know what it feels like to be broke. I know what it feels like to be unemployed. And I have had to collect unemployment checks in my day. I've been financially unstable way longer than I've been financially stable. So therefore, I don't go chasing $125 T-shirts. I stick to the Mossimo T-shirts from Target that I'm used to. If you ever see me with a $125 T-shirt, I promise you somebody gave it to me. Or I got it out of MTV's wardrobe department, okay? Salute to my homegirl, Ty Turner. Now, Kendall and Kylie released these high-priced $125 T-shirts with their images on it, but for whatever reason, someone in their team had the audacity, the unmitigated gall, to tell them it would be a good idea to superimpose their images on these T-shirts with two mythical figures, two gods in our culture. These men are so great that regardless of how you feel about their films, they both have biopics. Mr. Christopher Wallace, a.k.a. the Notorious B.I.G., and Tupac Shakur. Now, it wasn't just our treasured hip-hop legends that got defaced with this Jenner graffiti. They superimposed their faces on T-shirts with Metallica, Ozzy Osbourne, Led Zeppelin, The Doors, Pink Floyd, and Kiss. This is so Kanye. Now, I have never owned an album by any of those artists or groups, but like a young urban philosopher by the name of Meek Mill once said, there are levels to this shit. And Kendall and Kylie are not on the levels of any of the aforementioned artists or groups that I just named, okay? How dare you be on a T-shirt with them? In the words of Sharon Osbourne, girls, you haven't earned the right to put your face with musical icons. Stick to what you know. Lip gloss, okay? Kylie and Kendall been around Kanye too long. These T-shirts with Kendall and Kylie next to musical icons look how Kanye West sounds when he rants about being Walt Disney, Steve Jobs, Picasso. You remember these?
I am Walt Disney. I am Steve Jobs. I am Howard Hughes. I am Mandela. I am Malcolm X. JFK. I am Henry Ford. I am Michelangelo. I am Picasso.
Okay, Kanye can feel that way. At least Kanye has a genius-level talent to where you can say, okay, yay. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one day we'll mention you alongside all of those people. At least Kanye has crafted classic material in the form of music that has made him a musical icon. But what have Kendall and Kylie done to be on a T-shirt with these musical icons? Any icons, for that matter. Now, we can have conversations about ego and why these genders think that they are that important or that iconic or that, you know... Just whatever, you know what I'm saying? But what's disgusting about this situation is Kendall and Kylie, two branches of the Kardashian-Jenner family tree. This family does a lot of multi-million dollar business all the time, but for whatever reason, when it came to at least Biggie, the business wasn't done right because Biggie's mother, Valletta Wallace, posted one of the T-shirts on Instagram with a big X over it and the message, "This product has no affiliation to the notorious Big Estate. The estate was never contacted about using the likeness of Biggie." Really, Kardashian-Jenner's? Not only did you play yourself, but nobody on your team respected the estate of Biggie enough to call his mama and get permission? Well, let her post it on IG. "I am not sure who told Kylie and Kendall that they had the right to do this. The disrespect of these girls to not even reach out to me or anyone connected to the estate baffles me. I have no idea why they feel they can exploit the deaths of Tupac and my son Christopher to sell a damn T-shirt. This is disrespectful, disgusting, and exploitation at its worst." I agree. Kendall and Kylie, this is Uncle Charlotte talking, and I just want to tell you young ladies that I don't care who your brother-in-law is, Kanye, nor do I care how many rappers you date, from A$AP Rocky to Travis Scott. None of them can give you a pass to disrespect the estate of Biggie Smalls or Tupac, and if you're dating all of these rappers, none of them can give you better advice than that to tell you not to do it. Instead of putting your images, right, on the shirts of hip-hop icons and musical icons, how about post your images on the ghost of penis past in the Kardashian-Jenner family? What I mean by that is all the penises who have contributed to giving the Kardashian-Jenner some notoriety, put your faces on those. You could do Lamar Odom shirts, Tyga, Chris Humphries, Kanye, Reggie Bush, and of course the god Ray J. Drop one of Clue's bombs for Ray J, damn it. Okay? That's more appropriate, I believe. Superimposing your faces on the ghost of penis past would have been a much better look and way less controversial than superimposing your faces on musical icons. Dear Kendall and Kylie, don't go chasing musical icons. Stick to the rappers and athletes' penises that have ran through your family that you're used to. Please give Kendall and Kylie the biggest hee-haw, please. Wow. Now, word on the street is Valletta Wallace and the estate of Biggie may sue them.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe she should.
Absolutely.
And word on the street is Kendall Jenner has a six-pack of Pepsi being sent to Valletta today to try to stop her from being angry.
My goodness.
So we'll see.
All right.
We'll see.
Thank you for that donkey today, sir.
Yes.
Now, when we come back, we got to discuss interracial dating.
Oh, man, listen. Now, I know this sounds like a prehistoric topic, and I feel like we should be way past this in 2017.
I know.
But we had the good brother, Dr. Umar Johnson, in here. And Dr. Umar Johnson, he made a statement. I don't necessarily agree with it wholeheartedly. I have my thoughts, but let's hear it.
Let's hear the statement.
Take my ancestor, Frederick Douglass, who knew their history and still married white women. Had Frederick Douglass not married that white woman, he would be undisputably the greatest black leader that ever walked on American soil. But because of that one mistake that he made. But the question again is, why did he do that?
Why do you say that's a mistake? Because shouldn't it be the man fell in love with who he fell in love with?
No, because marriage is a political decision. Who you marry tells me who you are. When you marry a woman, you don't just marry her. You marry her culture. You marry her community, you marry her people. So when a black man marries a white woman, he's making several clear points and messages he's sending out to his own people. Because there's no greater symbol of your loyalty to your struggle than to marry a sister who shares that struggle. Is love purely blind? I disagree. Love is a function of your values and your priorities.
And you better never get caught with a white woman, ever. Yeah. Hot take, hot take, hot take, Dr. Umar, hot take. Fuego. Fuego. Whoa.
My goodness.
Flame emojis, 10 of them.
So we're asking 800-585-1051, do you agree with interracial dating? So let me start with you, Charlamagne.
First of all, I can't believe we're still having this conversation in 2017. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I have no problem with a person loving whoever they want to love, right? But I also have no problem with wanting to marry someone from your culture. I have no problem with you wanting to keep it all in the family. If you're Chinese, and 9 times out of 10, a Chinese man wants his daughter to marry another Chinese man. An Asian man wants his, you know, daughter to marry another Asian man. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mexicans like to keep it in the family as well. Like, I don't have no problem with black people saying I want to keep it black.
But you said, you would want your daughter to marry a black person.
Yeah, I would.
I wouldn't care. You know what I mean? And the reason I wouldn't care is because it's who you love. Like, I look at my wife. My wife is, yes, she's Jamaican, but she also has Chinese in her. She also has Puerto Rican in her. But, you know what I mean, it doesn't matter. I fell in love with somebody at the age of 16, and that's what it is.
Listen, if my daughter grows, I would rather her grow in love than fall in love. Because I feel like when you fall, you get hurt. But if she grows in love, if she grows to love anybody, mm-hmm. I'm going to accept it. But if you ask daddy what he want, daddy wants black. Okay? And how come I can pick the color of anything else I want? If I want a car, I can pick what color I want.
Right.
If I want some sneakers, I can pick what color I want. But as soon as I say I want my daughter to bring home a black person, it's World War III. That ain't racism or nothing. I'm just telling you what my preference
okay.
is.
All right. Hello, who's this?
Danielle.
Hey, Danielle. Good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
All right. What did you think about what Dr. Umar Johnson said?
You know, I think that we're in the day and age where it shouldn't even matter anymore. You know, I am a white female, and I typically, I mean, my preference is black men, so.
Why you like black men, boo? Tell me. Do tell.
Look, come on. We don't got to talk about all that right
now.
It's too early in the morning.
Talk about all them veins.
What?
It's too early for all that.
Go ahead, mama.
But I just think that interracial dating, it's not even a topic anymore. It shouldn't be, rather, because it's an everyday thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Al, what up, Al?
What's going on?
You disagree with Umar?
Yeah, man. I'm calling out of Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay. 803 was happening.
Why you disagree with Dr. Umar Johnson?
Well, I'm married to a white woman, and that doesn't make you know, who I am. No small town called Batesburg, Leesville. I don't know if Charlamagne ever heard from it.
Come on, man. How you mean I've ever heard of Batesburg, Leesville? Stop it.
My bad, man. But, I mean, just because I'm married to a white woman, that don't mean, you know, it make who I am. I'm married to a white woman. I'm still blacker than an ace of spades. So, I mean, who is he to come out and say, you know, that makes who I am? Is he even married? That's my question.
That is a good question. I don't think Dr. Umar is married, but I agree with you. I don't think who you're married to dictates your identity. It can have some influence on it, but it don't dictate your identity.
All right. Now we have Joseph on line 5. Joseph, what up?
Yo, what up, DJ Envy?
What's up, my G?
Joseph Max in the Bronx, bro.
Okay. Now we're talking Dr. Umar Johnson. Now you said you agree.
To a certain extent, I said. Like I say, man, like, if you black and you want to date a black woman, black man, whatever, like, that's your preference. Like, if you want to date a white man or Puerto Rican or Mexican, like, it is what it is, man. Nowadays, man, the way this new generation growing up, bro, like, it's no such thing as race no more. You feel me? Like,
not my brother. Relax. There's definitely such thing as race. Now,
hell no, bro. Like,
okay.
Yo, bro, I'm Charlamagne, yo, bro, like, you straight corny, bro.
Okay. But
you're a dead cornball.
But there is such thing as race, and I'll be a corny black person. Okay, and you will be a think you cool black person. There is definitely such thing as race. Knock it off.
800-585-1051. We're asking, do you agree with interracial dating? Now, this comes from a conversation we had with Dr. Umar Johnson, and we'll take your calls when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we're asking this morning, do you agree with interracial dating? Now, this comes from Dr. Umar Johnson, a conversation we had with him. Let's play a clip of it right fast.
Take my ancestor, Frederick Douglass, who knew their history and still marry white women. Had Frederick Douglass not married that white woman, he would be undisputably the greatest black leader that ever walked on American soil. But because of that one mistake that he made. But the question again is, why did he do that?
Why do you say that's a mistake? Because shouldn't it be the man fell in love with who he fell in love with?
No. Because marriage is a political decision. Who you marry tells me who you are. When you marry a woman, you don't just marry her. You marry her culture. You marry her community. You marry her people. So when a black man marries a white woman, he's making several clear points and messages he's sending out to his own people. Because there's no greater symbol of your loyalty to your struggle than to marry a sister who shares that struggle. Is love purely blind? I disagree. Love is a function of your values and your priorities.
And you better never get caught with a white woman.
So 800-585-1051, what do you think? We got Frankie on line 3. Frankie, good morning.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Okay, now you agree with Dr. Umar Johnson.
I agree with him when he says that marriage is a political decision. I agree that when you marry someone, you are marrying their culture. So I think if there's a black person who loves their culture enough they wouldn't be 100% okay with marrying a white person. But at the same time, I agree with Charlamagne when he says that, you know, while you shouldn't tell your children who to love, you do want them to come home with someone black, because it's not racist to want them to marry inside their race. It's a cultural thing. Asians do it. Jewish people do it.
Yep.
You know?
I just want my son to come home with somebody that loves him and treats him well. Like, that's what I want. You know what I mean?
That's
all I want.
At the end of the day,
I want him to be happy.
For our kids, that's what we all want at the end of the day. We want them to grow to love someone. But, I mean, if you ask me, her father, what I want, I would love for her to bring a brother home.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Kay.
Hey, Kay, good morning. Now, do you agree with Dr. Umar Johnson?
I do agree with him. I don't have anything against other races, but I just come from a faith background. And if you look in the Bible, there are verses in the Bible where God talks about not mixing your race and telling, like, Israelites to, you know, cast out those who aren't of your kind, and you're not supposed to marry those other people. So, you know, I just feel like by being with somebody white or being with someone that's of another race, you kind of dwindle on your love for not your love, but yeah, you kind of dwindle on your love and your understanding for your own people as well.
Okay. I don't necessarily know if I agree with that, but I do agree there's a lot of cases where men have fallen into the sunken place because of their women. Like, that is a fact.
Jay, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Now, do you agree with what Dr. Umar Johnson said?
Not at all. I'm 19 years old. I'm an African-American Hawaiian Filipino girl. But, of course, when people look at me, they think, oh, she's just black. And my now boyfriend is actually full Samoan. So with the whole, like, relating with your struggle, I feel like no matter who you're with, you can educate them. You know, let them know what you're going through, and they can then understand your struggle, because even with all the groups and the Black Lives Matter or any, you know, majority black group, it doesn't have just black people.
But
you know,
ain't y'all Pacific Americans?
Yes.
But what is the Pacific Americans got going on? I'm just asking. I don't know.
Like, what are Hawaiian struggles?
Yeah.
We were just talking about this yesterday. Kind of the same thing. We got our land taken from us, and I don't want to necessarily say that, but like the Caucasians came and they discovered Hawaii when there was people already there. We got a religion forced onto us, got clothes put on us. So that, I mean, that's their kind of struggle. Like,
basically the white man did to you what he's done to everybody else.
Exactly.
Okay. That's all you got to say. Why are we complicating this? We know what the white man's done. They know what they've done. It's all good.
Hello, who's this?
You know who this is, boy. Look, this is a mute discussion because black people are full of it because they never, ever sleep with their own kind. I've been telling black people what they are for years. Monkeys.
Oh, boy.
And coons.
What?
So the moral of the story is, if black people were dating their own kind, they'd be sleeping with Harambe and Rocket the Raccoon from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, my goodness. See, that guy always goes too far.
Yeah, he does. But the moral of the story is, I have no problem with a person loving whoever they want to love, but I also have no problem with wanting to marry someone from your culture. I have no problem with you wanting to keep it all in the family. If we want to keep it black, keep it black. If you want to keep it white, keep it white. If you want to keep it Jewish, keep it Jewish. Keep it Mexican, keep it Mexican. Whatever it is. Me personally, yeah, that's what I want for my daughters. I want them to bring a nice black man home. Okay, but more importantly, I just want that person to be a good person.
I want
them
to be a good person. That's how I am. I want them to have a good person. All right. Now, when we come back, we got rumors. We got to talk. Eric Benet, he responds to Jay-Z. Also, Academics and Joe Buttons, I think they made up. We'll get into it when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Hov.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Angela Yee's out, so we holding it down. Now we all
know. Two chatty patty ass bitches. Let's go.
Talk about me and you?
Duh.
All right, now last night, Jay-Z released his album 444. Album is incredible. I love the album.
It's the album I wanted. It's the album I needed. You know, I love age-appropriate hip-hop because I'm a grown-ass full adult, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Jay-Z is a grown-ass full adult, even more grown-ass full adult than me.
Now, he mentioned Eric Benet on his album. Let's play a clip of it.
You excellent, knowing all along all you had to say you was wrong. You almost went Eric Benet. Let the baddest girl in the world get away. never go Eric Benet. I don't even know what you would have done in the future of a nigga playing football with your son.
All right.
You would have lost it.
I feel bad for giving Solange Donkey of the Day that time after the elevator incident now, knowing it was all Ho's fault.
Yeah, it was all Ho's fault.
He said he egged Solange on, knowing the whole time he was
wrong. Right. Well, Eric Benet responded.
Man, don't nobody give a damn what Eric Benet got to say at
Eric
a time
Benet
like this.
Put on Twitter or on Instagram yesterday, hey, yo, Jay-Z, just so you know, I got the baddest girl in the world. She's my wife, like right now. And he posted a picture of his wife.
Drop on the clues bombs for Eric Benet. Listen, you got to hold it down for your wife. And I'm sure his wife is the baddest woman in the world to him.
Mm-hmm. Now, also.
But that ain't who we talking about. We talking about Halle Berry.
No, but he did the right thing.
What you mean he did the right thing?
He put a picture of his wife and said, this is the baddest girl in my world.
Oh, absolutely. That's real. Absolutely. All day.
All right. Now, also, Joe Budden and Academics, it looks like they squashed their beef. They called each other vaginas all day yesterday, but it looks like they squashed their beef, and we have audio.
Academics is one of the biggest I've ever seen in my entire life. But he should never comment on anything that has to do with physicality. There's nothing wrong with being but you got to be to the corner sometimes. Just shut up.
I just wanted to play them squashing the beef. Play them squashing the beef.
I was just heard Joe talking about it, man. Joe called me and I was like, yo.
Not because of what happened.
It couldn't be because of what happened, because I'm like, Joe can't say that given that he edited out the footage. Or he had
edited footage.
I was in front of you when the whole QC scoundrels were descending on you.
You were honorable. Certain things should just be left untouched. Not edited footage, not any of that. I don't care about any of that. I love you. I love Nadeska. You guys are honorable. Outside of you throwing Nadeska in the way, this was great.
Listen, I just felt a certain type of way about that particular comment. But other than that, you know what I mean? I'm enjoying the memes right now.
Anything I say about Everyday Struggle, people say I'm hating. So I'm just wishing.
It's not hating. What you got to say?
I'm just wish Academics and Joe the best with Everyday Struggle. Both those guys know I'm here if they need me. Ack is my guy. Joe is my guy. I talk to Ack all the time. So
okay.
I wish them the best. Work it out, guys. You guys got something good over there, okay?
Now, people were pissed off when Kendrick Lamar bought his sister a Toyota Camry for graduation. They said he was being cheap. They said he's making so much money, he should buy her a better car. Well, Kendrick Lamar responded.
I don't know what they expected a 16-year-old with no license to get a Lamborghini. She has to fully learn how to drive first.
And not only fully learn how to drive, fully learn responsibility. You know what I'm saying? You don't just jump out the window and buy a 16-year-old a Bentley or a Maybach or a Lambo or whatever else you think a rapper should buy a family member.
Absolutely. I mean, they're 16 years old. They're just learning how to drive. They're probably going to crash into something, hit up the bumper, pop a tire. They're going to do something. We all did it when we first got our license.
And they
got
to learn how to earn things. Mm-hmm. You earn those toys. You just don't get them gifted.
Right.
Unless, of course, you date an NBA player or soccer player or baseball player. But,
one of those, right. And that is...
rapper that's actually making money.
And that is your rumor report. Now, yesterday, Hov's album came out. So let's play a joint off the Hov album. What joint you want to play?
Oh, man, I like so many, man. I like Kill Jay-Z. I like 444.
Mm-hmm.
I like... Oh, man. I don't know. I like a
Family
lot of...
Feud is
Family
dope.
Feud is dope. I like it's a lot of records on there I like.
Let's do 444. No. Let's do...
Why don't you just play the album? Ain't iHeart playing the album every 2 hours or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just... It's only 34 minutes.
Let's do a story of OJ, and then
I love story of OJ.
Let's do the story of OJ right now.
And by the way, the stupid young boy that called up here earlier talking about there's no such thing as race.
Mm-hmm.
Jay-Z made the story of OJ song for dumbasses like you.
All right, so we'll get into story of OJ, and then we're gonna get into a Jay-Z mix, ladies and gentlemen. We're playing.
You give Envy a chance to D-Ride Hov. He gonna take it.
Why D-Ride Hov? You always say get him the flowers when they're alive. So I'm trying to give my man some flowers right now, and you say I'm D-Riding.
Huh? You giving him flowers? I'm the guy sitting over here with the Roc Nation hat and the Roc Nation T-shirt. Salute to my guy Emery Jones. Meanwhile, you got on an OVO snapback.
I got Roc Nation underwear on.
You know what I'm saying? And you wonder why waffle-colored Negroes get no respect in this world.
All right, Revolt, we'll see you guys on Monday.
I thought he was trying to bring light skin back, but he just always sets them back with stupid-ass comments like that.
Everybody else, the people's choice. When's Revolt coming back? A week? All right,
and I want to tell Diddy, too, man. Diddy, you know, you did your little press run yesterday. Diddy was supposed to come on The Breakfast Club yesterday, but he canceled on The Breakfast Club.
He definitely did.
But he did.
Which was foul.
He did Desus and Mero's show. Salute
Shout
to my
to
guy,
them.
Desus and Mero. Desus was with me last night for my born day. He did Wendy Williams' show. Mm-hmm. I saw him doing some other radio. I just want to say, I think it's quite stupid for you not to come do the Breakfast Club when we're on Revolt. That is your network.
Right.
But that's what I mean when I say Diddy doesn't promote Revolt.
Doesn't make sense.
And doesn't care about Revolt. So I'm going to give you Revolt the same energy that you give it, Diddy. Okay, I'm gonna give Revolt the same energy you give it. So when y'all wonder why Charlamagne don't never got nothing good to say about Revolt, it's because of situations like that.
Okay, all right. Said. All right. Matter of fact, let's get into the mix when we come back. Well, let me know what you want to hear. 800-585-1051.